All right, let's go into the life of Joseph. We're in Genesis 50, verse 19. Now remember where we are. Jacob has died. The brothers are fearful of Joseph's retribution for the deeds that they did so many, many years ago. According to Scripture, they were commanded by their father before he died to say to Joseph, to go to Joseph and seek forgiveness if they felt that they were not forgiven, saying in verse 17, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy slaves," or they said servants here in the King James, but it means slaves. "We be thy slaves." And Joseph, being Joseph, and I think we understand the character of Joseph, or we should if we have been listening and reading and studying, we can understand the character of Joseph. And you know, that's a wonderful thing to understand about a person, is their character. Because understanding their character, you can predict what they're going to do. Can't you? So he says unto them in verse 19, "Fear not." Oh, that two-word couplet is throughout the Scriptures, isn't it, to us? So many times angelic beings speak to us with those words of introduction, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Oh, that's just like Joseph. These are bowing down to Joseph in submission. And he knows that he is not in the place of God. Should this kind of humble submission, as his brothers are now exhibiting to him, should they be given to him? No, he's not in the place of God. Joseph wants none of his brothers to have the idea that he is in the place of God. For Joseph knows, and he said it before, years and years ago, 17 years now, that God had used their evil and turned it for good. You know, what if Joseph had opposed the will of God by exercising vengeance against his brothers? What a different story, wouldn't it be? Joseph could have opposed the will of God, but Joseph knew that he had taken their evil and turned it for good. If Joseph had opposed them or opposed the will of God, then he would be in the place of God, for God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You know, there's a proverb, I don't know where it is, but I recall a proverb that says, if you exercise vengeance, God backs off. God backs off. God is a believer against double jeopardy, double punishment. So go ahead, be in the place of God, but notice that God will back off. You've done what I'm supposed to do, and that person is going to be receiving a different thing from God. Don't know exactly how that works, but that's what the proverb tells us. So God says, he stands in this place and he says, "Now wait a minute, vengeance is mine, Joseph." And Joseph understands that and he says, "I'm not going to be in the place of God and exercise vengeance. What do you expect, brothers?" See now, if the brothers understood the character of Joseph better, they would have understood that they were forgiven. You see, Joseph, as a man of authority, was in a position to exercise vengeance. He was in a position to destroy each of his brothers And he was in a position to oppose the will of God. You are in that position also. Now, he knew what the will of God was because Jacob expressed the will of God as he blessed his sons. For he had said each one was to be a tribe of Israel. Now, Joseph, as we see in the scriptures, time after time, has seen the hand of the Lord in his life since his brother sold him into slavery, and we even get glimpses of Joseph understanding that prior to that event, don't we? We see in Joseph's life an understanding that the hand of the Lord is in everything. And that's what a Christian ought to understand. That ought to carry us through the shade and the sunshine, as we sang this morning. See, the understanding that God is in everything. Joseph recognized the Lord's sovereignty. The Lord's sovereignty, who lives from eternity to eternity and knows the beginning from the end and has seen your life already lived. Joseph recognized the Lord's wisdom. Joseph recognized the Lord's grace, and now he wants his brothers to also recognize those things. You know, that makes a difference in your life, doesn't it? For Joseph knows exactly who is in charge here, and it is not himself. Oh, Joseph was of high rank, wasn't he? Joseph was the second in charge to the Pharaoh, and we see glimpses of the glories of the Pharaohs today, don't we? How that speaks to us, even here, thousands of years ago, we see the glories of Egypt. Every day we hear a story of Egyptian glory. Joseph was right up there with the Pharaohs. Probably almost worshipped. But Joseph knows exactly who is in charge here, and it's not Joseph. Who am I that you should bow in humble submission to me, for God has this case in hand? And Joseph asks, what could I do to interfere with God's plans, even if I desire to do so? Wow, what a revelation to us. Who are we to interfere in God's plans? You know, that's like stepping onto a railroad track and putting your hand out and trying to stop the locomotive. You'd say, well, that's foolish. Well, that's just what we do when we oppose the will of God. Try to stop that locomotive with your sheer willpower and your big muscle. Well, I'll see you all over the place. See? Well, there he is over there. No, there he is over there. No, there he is in the trees. See, that's how powerful we are to the will of God and how we can oppose the will of God. So what's our conclusion to the matter? Get on board the train. See? Get on board the train and go where God's going. Get on His will and go where God's going. That's the conclusion of the matter, and that's what Joseph concluded long time ago. I'm going to get on the train. Didn't even know there was a train. Got on the Midianite train. Am I in the place of God that I should take it upon myself to judge you? This is the meaning of the question. Am I in God's place? Have I the right to do so? You know, we think that's so simple. Well, yes, it's simple when you have it, but when you don't have it, it's not that simple. That's wisdom. To know where God is going and to go with Him instead of opposing His will. It's futile to oppose God's will. What do you do when you're born again? You surrender, don't you? Lord, I've been opposing your will all my life. I see the train coming and I have been in the way and I always get run over. Let me get aboard the train. And the Lord says, graciously says, come aboard, son. Join us as we go down the track of the will of God. And that's what happens when you're saved. You get aboard the will of God. So Joseph explains his question, am I in God's place, in the next verse, 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. That's what your part was. You thought evil against me. But you didn't take into account how God was going to use your thoughts. You didn't take into account God's part in this transaction. Oh, how the unsaved, how the lost people do this. How those that are away from God never take into account God's part. See? They're blind. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So Joseph, we see, continues to express his faith in God as he sees God's hand in everything. Oh, I tell you, that's what we ought to be like. As Christians, we ought to see God's hand in everything. And you know, a lot of times we can't see today, but we can look back and we see God's hand in our lives. How did we get here? How did I get to this point? How did I get to standing in front of a body of people and teach the Word of God? And you look back and you see little places in your life where the Lord brought you to that place. See? Well, hopefully as we do that, we'll look at today and see the hand of God today in our lives, in everything that happens. So Joseph has spiritual vision, which brings him above this situation to see it as God sees it. That's what a spiritual person ought to be headed for. Be able to look at a situation and see that situation as God sees that situation, and then to react to that situation according to the Word of God. Isn't that what it means to study? To show thyself approved unto God? A workman who needeth not to be ashamed. You know, every time I read that verse, I think about Navy inspections. And I served in the Navy active duty for 10 years. I served in the Navy civil service for 15 years. And every couple of years, they'd write down to us and say, we're going to inspect you. Oh, no. What do we got to do? Well, you don't throw up your hands. What do? You get out the book. You get out the book. You study. Let's see, what am I doing right here? And you search for hours. Doesn't look like I'm doing anything right. Study to show yourself approved. You could also say, study to show yourself disapproved. Couldn't you? Everything you read, you say, well, I'm not doing that right either. Well, what's your obligation? Well, in the Navy, get it right. That's what it says. You got an inspection. What do you got to do? You got to get it right. That's what Robert's doing today. Because every day there's an inspection. How does he know how to get it right? He gets in the book. The book may be the drill sergeant, maybe a verbal book, but somebody's got the book. See, and you study. Well, let's see. Mark that down. We got to get that fixed up. Says in here you got to have 3 copies in pink. Do we have 3 copies? Only 2? Get 3 copies. We want to be approved. What are you doing? You're conforming your organization to the book. That's what that means, doesn't it? Had to do that lots of times. They didn't care whether you had your own ideas. Well, we think 2 copies of pink is okay. I don't care what you say. The book says 3. 3. Get 3, Joe. You didn't care what your ideas were in a military inspection. Robert says, well, I kind of like my mustache. Don't you like it, drill sergeant? I don't want any mustaches here. You're not an individual, you're a Marine. See? You got to get in the book. So Joseph was a man of faith. He saw God's hand in everything. Joseph had spiritual vision. He saw things as God sees it. He sees the Lord's hand in this whole wonderful history of his family. You know, it's wonderful to know what's happening to you according to the book, isn't it? Joseph knew what was happening to his family according to the word of God that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what was taking place in the future, and he was praising the Lord for it. That's what we ought to do. For don't we know where we are in the book? What's next on the horizon of God's word? See? Oh, it's wonderful to know where we are. And Joseph sees nothing happen that is apart from this. That's what we're to learn, that God is in control of the situation. You know, when the ground shakes and there's an earthquake, that happens in our lives, perhaps not as the earth shakes, but something earth-shaking takes place in our lives. How do we react to that? Do we bring to the forefront that God's in charge here? See, God's in charge here. Listen, some of us have some things ahead of us that are going to be tough to face. I mean, that's life. That's life. You've got things ahead of you that are tough to face. You older folks, you've got things ahead of you that are tough to face. What are you going to do, as the song says, when the well runs dry? Say, where are you going to go for water? Well, you got to know that God's in charge, see? And that's what Joseph is telling his brothers. You can devise all evil, but God will devise all good. That's our God. Go ahead, devise all evil. See if you can outsmart him. See if he can be so evil that he'll turn his back and say, I've had it. I can't do anything about it. No, that's not our God. God is good. And whatever evil man devises, God can only devise good because God is good. Get that in your mind. Get that in your mind when you see all this evil. Oh, all this evil is so much and so black and so dark. I'm so depressed. Well, then you don't have your eyes on the good God. That's a wonderful principle about God, that God is good. See? God is good. Out of your desire to destroy me, Joseph recounts to his brothers, God has saved you and your little ones and your flocks and your herds and your posterity, for God cannot do otherwise. Why? For God is good. God's good. Why do things result the way they do? Because God's good. See? That's God's character. And character allows certain actions and prohibits certain actions. Character builds fences and character builds gates. When you're building character in your little ones, you're building fences. When you're building character in your little ones, you're building gates. They know where to go out and to come in. They know where to stay. They know where to not stay. That's what character does. It's a wonderful thing. And that's the character of God, that God is good. And as a child of God, Joseph simply believes and acts as his father, God, would. Do you get the connection? As a child of God, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to behave as your father behaves. You're supposed to decide as your father decides. You're supposed to do as your father does. See, as a servant of God, can Joseph do otherwise? That's his character. He has the character that God has. So in verse 21, he says, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Hadn't he done the same thing 17 years prior? Oh, that old conscience comes back. That old remembrance of forgiven sins comes back, doesn't it? Well, I wonder if he really forgave us because Dad was here. We're in big trouble, boys. But he assures them, therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know, in this whole affair, as I said before, Joseph knows where he fits. Joseph knows where he fits in the plan of God, and he knows that he has been appointed by God to be the leader and the savior of this family. Joseph didn't shirk his duties, did he? God said, Joseph, you're in charge here. You're the one to be the leader and the savior of this family. Yes, sir, reporting for duty, was Joseph's response. So Joseph had not come to condemn his brothers, but to save his brothers and their families. Who does that remind you of? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the words that he spoke to his brothers are words that Christ would also speak to those who receive him. Aren't they the same? Don't we see Joseph as a introducer or a precursor of the Lord Jesus Christ? And through the experiences that we read in the scriptures in Genesis about Joseph, we can see where the Lord Jesus Christ is going with Israel. He's not done with Israel yet. This reunion is to take place. You see, for all, like Joseph's brothers, have sinned against the holy God, and those who repent will be nourished and comforted. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. In John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn. Jesus Christ came to save. And that's what Joseph knew what he was about. Am I in God's place? No, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted and spake kindly to them. You know, Joseph was hated by his brothers, and his brothers were Israel. And so too, Jesus Christ was hated by Israel and mistreated as no other. Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We get a little picture of that in this story, don't we? As he comforted him, the brothers who hated him, who despised him, who despitefully used him. But Joseph's grace overcame their hatred, and through the working of God's grace, drew them to himself. Didn't come to condemn the world. Such as Joseph was, so too is Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, his brothers, I'm sure, disappointed him. Peter disappointed the Lord. But God's love is more powerful than anything we can bring against it. That's what's expressed here. God's good. You can't bring anything against God's goodness to hurt that. Verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Now let's see where we are here. Joseph was sold by his brothers when he was 17 or 18 years old. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. He revealed himself to his brothers 2 years into the 7-year period of famine, or 9 years after standing before Pharaoh. So 2 years into the famine, he was 39. Left home when he was 17 or 18. 2 years into the famine, he was 39. So he had been in Egypt 22 years. Jacob was in Egypt 17 years. So when Jacob died, Joseph was about 56 years old. So this verse in 50:22 tells us that Joseph lived 110 years. So Joseph lived 54 years in Egypt after Jacob's death. That kind of gives you the chronology of where we are. We see no indication that he or his brothers made any attempt to return to Canaan. Joseph knew that they were to be in a strange land for 400 years, according to Abraham. And he knew that they were to be there until God called them out. Verses following this portion indicate to us that Joseph's years in Egypt were long, prosperous, and peaceful years. There's indications that they were peaceful when you talk about children bouncing on his knee, and so on. So it's indicated that they were long, prosperous, and peaceful years. And I think we can surmise from that Joseph's years were spent in favor with the Pharaoh and in his service in high office for those 54 years, in addition after Jacob's death. But also I want you to note that not much is made of this period of time as to his role in Egypt. And I think there's a lesson there for us to learn, that not much is mentioned about his role because God's will had now been accomplished. You see, his role in Egypt had only been mentioned when it was necessary to God's will. And I think the principle here is what's done for Christ will last or be mentioned. All else is wood, hay, and stubble. Not worth mentioning in the scriptures. You know, I was thinking about this in the same line of thought in office work and things like that. And you go to the file and you see these big fat files. And then you see some little thin files. And you open up those fat files, and a lot of times, most of it's just chaff. And you can go through that fat file, and in a few minutes, you can extract out that stuff that's just chaff. And eventually, it'll go into the fire where it is burned. Not much important stuff in there, is there? Well, the important things in Joseph's life were those things that he did to advance the will of God. And that's what we have in our lives. What's done for Christ will last or be mentioned. All else is wood, hay, and stubble. As we march toward the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have a fat file. You know, every one of us that has lived a lengthy life will have that old fat file with us. And we'll be so proud of that fat file. And the Lord will say, well, let me have your file. And he'll start looking through that file and he'll say, well, we'll throw that over here on this pile over here. And all of a sudden that file starts getting pretty slim, doesn't it? And in some cases there won't be anything left in the file, and the Lord will throw the file folder over there too. And you'll kind of feel a little fire on your rear. Just got in by smoke or just by fire. You know? But Joseph operated according to the will of God, and that which he did to advance the will of God was given great notice by the scriptures. But 54 years wasn't given much great notice, was it? Lord will judge that. But Joseph, at this point, has Israel in a separated condition. And in that separated condition, God intends to grow them into a people of great number and an identifiable nation, just as he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph had done God's will. Because Joseph was faithful, all of these things came about. He advanced the cause of God to bring these people into Egypt where they could be nurtured and nourished and separated. Oh yes, they'll go through persecution. But that happened when Joseph was off the scene. God had to bring persecution to keep him in that separated situation. Pay attention to what you're doing today. And think about that fat file that you're going to be bringing the Lord. What's in it? Wood, hay, and stubble? Gold, silver, or precious stones? Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us in giving us this story today, these scriptures today. Help us, Lord, to take these to heart and to live our lives knowing that we have to give an account of ourselves at the judgment seat of Christ. Help us, Lord, to go there with gold and silver and precious stone and realize that most of our lives is wood, hay, and stubble because we've lived it for ourselves. Help us to live our lives for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.